Amen. Why don't y'all stand up for a second, if you can. Just let the Holy Spirit just clear your heart and clear your mind, whatever's just felt a weight, like the not good weight on some people when I walked back in. So we're just asking the Lord that you would take the weights off of us. We have to let go of them. Burdens of life, situations and circumstances that weigh our hearts down. And so we ask you, Lord, to just help us to let go of those things and trust you. You just fill us up with grace right now, and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we're thankful today, Lord. We're thankful for you, Lord. Lord, we don't have a guarantee for tomorrow, but we do have a guarantee of you, Lord. So no matter what happens, Lord, we have you. And so I just ask you, Father, that every person in this room, whatever anxious thoughts about tomorrow, that somehow we could begin to see you in our tomorrow and know that you're there. And if you're there, everything's going to be fine. Amen. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Now I won't have to ask you if you're okay. Because if you're not, it's not my fault, right? Amen. All righty. Let's going to return to the Gospel of John chapter 10. I'm going to read verse 2 through 4. These are really, John chapter 10 is just amazing. It's one, these are very, very well-known verses here, but they're powerful. It says, "He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." That's beautiful right there. That's significant, that he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. "And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And there's God in your tomorrow. He goes before you." Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that, this is cool, man. Don't you love this? Yeah. "And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." That's the key. So let me give you a little bit of thoughts on this. First of all, John 10, if you look at John 10, is a continuation of John chapter 9. In other words, this is not like a new deal that started. And if you were here last week, remember we talked John chapter 9 is when Jesus healed the man that was born blind. And basically what happened in that story is they threw the guy out of the synagogue because of his faith in Christ, because he believed in Jesus. They disowned him, basically, which to us wouldn't be that big a deal, maybe. We might have our feelings hurt if we got thrown out of the church, right? Like, you just go find another church, right? You know, you might be offended for a while and, you know, be one of those people who are like, "Oh, I've been wounded by the church," and spend the rest of your life licking your wounds. Huh? Come on, y'all. Well, you know that happens. One time somebody told me they'd been hurt by the church. I said, "Welcome to the club." Human beings. We're all human. Anyways, but they, in that culture, if you were thrown out, you were out, period. It wasn't just out of the church. You were ostracized in culture and society. And so it was a big deal for that guy to get kicked to the curb by the Pharisees. And so that's where Jesus picks up. And so really what Jesus is doing right here is he is contrasting in John 10 what a true shepherd looks like. Where these shepherds, these leaders of Israel, the Pharisees, they were angry, they were abusive, if you didn't do exactly what they thought you should do, then they had no mercy or no grace for you. You either followed their rules or you were out. Where Jesus is revealing himself as a heart of a father, embracing children, and trying to bring people in instead of pushing people out. That's really what John chapter 10 is about in a lot of ways. And so he uses the analogy of a sheepfold. And a sheepfold is a pen, by the way, if you didn't know what that was, a sheepfold. And he's saying, and so what, this is the way things worked back in those days. This is really helpful to understand this. In those days, you had shepherds that had different flocks of sheep, their own flocks. They owned their own sheep. But at night, they would bring the sheep in. They didn't always spend a night out there in the wild, so to speak, because it was wild. And so they would, at night, they would bring the sheep in to a common pen, a common sheepfold, where all these different shepherds with all their different sheep would all come together into this common sheepfold, and they would put the sheep in. And one of the shepherds, more than likely, was the keeper, the doorkeeper. They would have one person assigned to stay with the sheep at night. And this person would literally lay at the door where nobody could come into the door without going over this one shepherd. And that's why Jesus, one, I'm the door, and one, he says, I'm the doorkeeper. You see, that's what he's trying to get people to see, because in their mind, they totally understand. Everybody got exactly what he was saying. I mean, it wasn't hard for them to understand how he was revealing himself as this shepherd that protected his sheep, and his sheep knew him. So in the morning, this is so cool, in the morning when it came time for the sheep to go back out and go graze in the fields, each shepherd would come to the sheepfold and call their sheep. And the sheep would go to the shepherd that they belonged to because they knew the shepherd's voice. They wouldn't go to another shepherd. Okay? So that's what he was saying. They know my voice. They hear my voice. I remember one time, I don't know if some of y'all know Chuck Moore. He used to have these workhorses up here in a field right up the road here. One day I saw him stand out there at the field and yell, just yell. And those horses come running to him, okay, because they knew his voice. They knew that they belonged to him. Well, I used to jog up through there, and so I decided to yell at those horses one day. Well, you know, they were out there grazing. They sort of just looked at me and looked away like, who's this fool? Because they knew his voice. And so really, this chapter really is a lot about hearing the voice of the Lord and recognizing his voice. You know, chapter 9, if you remember last week, was about seeing. Okay? About that's what Jesus was talking about, is being able to see. And this, but in this chapter, he moves on from just seeing to hearing. Hearing his voice, recognizing his voice. And every believer, just like with what I shared last week about being able to see, every believer, when we're born again, God has equipped us with the ability to hear him. It is not something we have to get. It's something we have. That we really can hear the Lord because he gave us that ability. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, a very famous verse, faith comes by hearing, right? In other words, your faith will not operate if you can't hear the Lord. It does not flow. That's why you can't just be ridiculous about faith. You have to hear something from the Lord for your faith to really work. Faith comes by hearing, but hearing comes by the word, the spoken word, by the voice of God. Do y'all see that? It doesn't say faith comes by the voice of God. It says faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the voice of God. So God has, when we get saved, it's almost like God gives us the faith right that moment to hear him, to believe him and get saved. And from that point on, we have this ability built into us, just like seeing in the spirit. Now, probably some of you are thinking, I don't really hear the Lord that well, and I don't see the Lord that well. I don't hear or see well. And that's probably everybody in the room, if you'd be really honest with each other, because we all really struggle with hearing the Lord. And that's why Jesus said this. I love what Jesus taught in Matthew 13. He was talking about people, if you had eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand, you'd have a healing in your life. Your life would be healed. Your life would be made whole. That's what he said. And I believe God's given us all of that. He's given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand. Isn't that exciting, though? But here's the thing. We have to begin to believe that, and instead of saying, I can't hear the Lord. I can't connect. I don't really understand what the Lord's doing. I really do that. In fact, we can't really be true followers of the Lord, right? That's what he said. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. See, if we're going to really be followers of the Lord, we have to really dial into his voice. We have to understand his voice, recognize his voice. You know, are y'all with me on this? This is a key, like this is, he's given us one of the great keys in the Bible to being a disciple. You know, discipleship is not about learning more information about the Bible and Bible studies and all that. Those are great things to do, but that's not what it is. Discipleship is recognizing his voice, knowing his voice, and learning how to follow this person. Yes or no? And that's, if so, we want to be disciples, this is how we begin to be a disciple. We begin to hear him. We begin to follow that voice, recognize that voice. When that voice speaks, then we can go with him. I'm so glad y'all are loving this. You know, I really, really do. Here's something, speaking of the Holy Spirit, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, we were talking about the Holy Spirit earlier in worship, right? That's what was going on. Yeah, didn't you love that? Boy, oh boy. Tell you what, the Lord's looking for worship in the earth, y'all. Don't miss out. Yeah, he really is. He's looking for worshipers, actually, is what the Bible says. Doesn't say he's looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. Right? That's what he said. The Father seeks worshipers. He's not seeking worship. At the end of the day, he's seeking us. He's seeking our hearts. He's seeking people who are willing to say yes to him and submit to him. But anyways, if you remember back in the book of Revelation, Jesus addressed these seven churches. Remember that? We did those churches a while back. I loved all that. Anyways, but here's how he started every one of them, just as a reminder. Each church, he would begin by, he spoke in the third person, so to speak. In other words, he would say, this is he who holds the candles in his right hand. And then he'd begin to say something to that church that that church need to hear. Every church got a different message from Jesus. Okay? But at the end, what did he say? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. You get that? Did y'all get this? See, the Holy Spirit is the mouthpiece of Jesus in the earth. The Holy Spirit's the mouthpiece of your in your heart. Are y'all with me? Y'all should be rabid Holy Spirit people. We all should be rabid towards the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't hear Jesus. In fact, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 that the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the things of God to us. He directly said that. And so we should be lovers of the Holy Spirit. We should be people who say we need the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what other people think. They could think you're crazy or you're weird. Who cares? Call me weird all day long. It calls me crazy all day long. But if I'm able to hear the voice of God through this relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm happy. You know, and at the end of the day, I'm going to be good. Amen? So become a lover of the Holy Spirit. Who said that earlier? Lord, we're sorry for being afraid of you. Somebody, you said that. That's a good word. That's a good word. Now, we all should have a reverential fear of the Lord, but we should not fear the Holy Spirit touching us, encountering him, just being, you know, well, I know some of you are so cool and, you know, you can't do that. Well, oh, Lord. So we really are living in a time, I think, where we need to dial into the shepherd's voice. You know, if ever we needed divine wisdom is now, right? Because the human wisdom that's out there, which is getting harder to find every day, right? I mean, if you listen to the leaders of our country, supposed leaders, you're wondering whatever even happened to the human wisdom. I mean, we're not even hearing human wisdom anymore. But when we did hear it, that's failing. Human wisdom is failing, y'all. Wisdom from God is the only answer for us. We need divine wisdom. And so we need it. We're in this critical moment in the world where God's calling on a people to begin to hear him and to begin to recognize his voice. And so I want to be one of those people. Don't you? Let me read this verse to you. I'm going to read Revelation 3:20, and everybody knows this. As someone once said years ago, this is probably one of the most quoted Bible verses in the Bible. I thought, wow, back then I didn't think that was true. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone, what, hears my voice and opens the door. So there's a door, y'all. There's a door. Okay? There's a door, and this door has something to do with the realm of the spirit. That's a door that we have to determine in our own life. Is do we have a door? You know, this has been used for salvation, which is, I think it's cool. Use any verse for salvation. If a person gets saved, who cares? Right? If somebody says, well, that verse don't apply to salvation, but they got saved, well, big deal. It's like when I got saved. Are y'all okay? When I got saved, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues, okay? Right off the pretty much bat. I was talking to these other guys that I hung around with in the Christian fellowship. And they said, oh, that tongues is not for today. That's what they told me. That was something for the past. And you know what I said? It's too late. I literally said that. Because at that point, I realized I ain't giving up on this one now. Because I feel like I dialed into something. So it doesn't matter, you know, what people think or about it. You know, if somebody gets saved with this verse, beautiful. They got saved. That's the bottom line. So I've often thought about the knock on the door is being circumstantial. Okay, I've often thought that not when Jesus says, I'm knocking at the door, he didn't say he said he who hears my voice. Not necessarily the knock. The knock I have felt, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong about this, but I do know in my life it's right, it could be a good circumstance or a bad circumstance. Is God trying to get our attention? And so he knocks on the door, just like if somebody came to your house and knocked on your door, rang your doorbell, they're getting your attention. Hey, I'm out here. You know, I need you to come open the door to me. And so I think we're at a time where Jesus is really knocking on our doors. Okay, and it's not all just the things of the world. Obviously, that's a knock on our door. But I think there's also good things. When God does a good thing for you, it's a knock on your door. For him to say, hey, I've got something I want to reveal to you. I got something about myself I want to show you and reveal my voice to you. So I think we're really at that time when he's knocking and wants us to hear his voice above all the other voices in the world. Because there's so many voices that are reaching out to us right now, you know, speaking. And, you know, honestly, y'all, the whole, you know, a lot of it is such a mixed. A lot of the prophetic is so mixed now. It's really so mixed. And a lot of the preaching and all of the sermons and a lot of, and I'm not, I mean, I think we all have mixture in us. Obviously, we're all on a journey, right? I've often told people this. I hope next year I look back on something I preached this year and like, oh, that was wrong. Because I grew in the Lord and I've known the Lord and he's shown me better. But I do think we're in a time when there's so much mixture and so much stuff that's not of God, clamoring for our attention, clamoring to get us to be focused on something or go this direction, go that direction, that it's become like overwhelming almost. You know, it really literally has become almost overwhelming with all the social media and the news and the perspectives. And it's just like a flood of stuff coming at you. And you're sitting here trying to sort through all of that. And that's where God wants us to begin to dial into his voice and begin to hear his voice above all that. Because that's our only help. That's our only hope, really. Because when we listen to all these other voices, because they are mixed and deluded, we're going to be led astray. We're going to be mixed and deluded. We'll miss the Lord. And really what we need to do, I think at some point all of us need to hit the reset button on stuff and just pull back. Like, wait a minute, I need to hit the reset, pull back, get with the Lord and begin to commune with the Lord. Because that's what he says. If you'll open the door, oh Lord, man, this thing is messed up. He said, if you open the door, I will come in and I will commune with you. You see, that's what the Lord wants to do. There's a communion with the Lord that I believe is available now that has never been available before. Because we're living in a time where there's a different level of communion, a different level of relationship that he's asking of us. He really is. He's trying to draw us in. And he's really not trying to see in just with all this negative. He's trying to draw us in with kindness. He's trying to draw us in with love. He's using it all. He'll use anything in your life, anything. He'll use the worst tragedy in your life as a knock. He will use the most beautiful thing to ever have. If you got a raise and got a new job or got a new spouse, he'll use that to let you know, hey, I'm kind, I'm good. I want you to hear me. I want you to know there's something more for you. And that's really where we're at right now. More than ever, we're right like that. And God, more than ever, he wants us to dial into his voice. Let me read this one other verse that's really cool. Cool potatoes. Isaiah 54:5. Do y'all love these verses? Listen to this one. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Okay, this is a prophetic word about Jesus. So that way you'll know who it's really about. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned. Isn't that amazing? Listen, you know what the tongue of the learned is? It's the spirit of prophecy that goes beyond a gift of prophecy. It's a spirit of prophecy that comes on a people out of relationship. Because he goes on and explains. It's a spirit of prophecy that comes on a person, that works in a person, that's built not on gifting, not on just calling, not on just purpose and all those things, which are great, but it's built on relationship. It's built on communion with him. When he begins to reveal himself to people and what we release out of the spirit, it says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. We begin to release the essence of who he is because we've been with him. Because it says this, listen to what it says. That I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. That's what the Lord wants to do. The world's weary. We're weary in a lot of ways. We're tired in a lot of ways. We're worn down by all the stuff in a lot of ways. And God has a word for us. And he wants to release people into the body of Christ that carry that word. But you know how those people are getting it? It's because they've given themselves to him. They've given their ear to him. They begin to close their ear to the stuff and begin to say, no, that's not Jesus for me. It may be for you, but for me, that's not Jesus. And that's what we had to do. That word for us, that voice for us. Somebody else may have a different, little different voice. Hopefully they do, because not one person has the voice. We all can be like John the Baptist. A voice is what the Bible says. A voice crying in the wilderness. That's what it said about John the Baptist. He's a voice. Jesus is the voice. We will never be the voice. You know what the Lord told me? I believe the Lord told me this. Okay, this was back when the pandemic was all of a sudden, this is not good. This is going to be bad. You know, we were starting to get, you know, everybody was scared. You know, you couldn't touch a box from Amazon. Remember that? Don't touch it. We didn't know. People didn't know. People were afraid. I mean, because nobody knew. I mean, some of it looks a little bit dumb right now, but at the time, hey, if some kind of deadly germ's on something, I'm not going to touch it, right? It was scary. Well, this is what he started talking to me about. He started talking to me about his voice. And this is what he said. I believe the Holy Spirit said this to me. Because it came the way the Holy Spirit normally speaks to me. He says, there are people that are going to lose their voice in the season ahead. And there are people who are going to find their voice in the season ahead. Which one will you be? That's what he said to me. Which one will you be? And see, we find his voice. We lose his voice. Listen, here's how you lose his voice. When you begin to listen to all the other voices. When all the other voices have preeminence in your life, when you're filling yourself with these voices that are mixed, some of it may be good stuff, some of it may be bad, but when you're filling your heart and your mind with all that stuff, you will lose his voice. You really will. You'll lose his voice. And the way you find your voice is by doing what it said here. This is cool, man. I mean, I love this verse. I don't know what's wrong with this computer here, but it keeps stopping. Yeah. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learn. In other words, there's a cultivation. Even though we have the ability to hear, we have to cultivate that. It's like everything else in the kingdom. You have to grow in it. You have to allow it. It said, my sheep hear my voice. Okay, I believe lambs can hear his voice. I really do, because they have the ability. But most of them are not going to. But there are some sheep. If you've been walking with the Lord, that's what he's talking about. If you've been walking with him, if you know me, you can hear it because you've given him the opportunity to speak to you. You've given your ear to that. You've not given your ear to everything else. Well, I'm just telling y'all the truth now. And then it says, the Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, nor did I turn away. We can turn away from the word of the Lord. We can turn away and be rebellious, y'all. We really can. We can run after what the Bible calls itchy ears. We can do that. To hear what we think. We all have this bias and we want to live in an echo chamber. You know, the only echo chamber worth living in is the kingdom of God. That's the echo chamber. Well, when I was a kid, there was a phrase, maybe some of y'all might remember it, windbag. Anybody ever heard that phrase? A windbag was somebody who ran their mouth but really had nothing to say. And that's what we're hearing now. We're hearing windbags. It's people who are saying stuff, but it's just it's nothing. It really is. Well, thank you, Lord. We don't want to be down on people, right? Well, let me just finish this right here. I got 12 minutes, but I want to say this. So I had this experience with the Lord recently. This was a beautiful experience. It probably won't be beautiful to you, but to me it was precious. And the reason it was precious is it revealed God's love and goodness to me, but it also revealed that God wanted to speak to me. And this is a simple thing, y'all, but it was really profound. So a couple years ago, I bought this part for my lawnmower as an attachment. It was like a $20 part. And I decided not to use it a couple years ago. Well, this year, I decided to use that. So I went looking for it, and I couldn't find it. So I went several different times looking everywhere it could be. I mean, and then finally one day, I exhaustively looked for it. I'm thinking Becky has thrown it away, because she'll throw stuff away. If she sees something, like, what are you going to do with that? Like, nothing? Well, I'm throwing it away then. Right, Becky? It's a very Spartan human being. I didn't actually think she threw it away because I had it in places hid from her. If I want to keep something, I hide it. But it was in none of my places. Okay? It was nowhere. And I kept looking at it. Finally, I said, Lord, please show it to me. Show me where it's at, Lord. And I went back and looked again everywhere. And then I went back again and looked. And then finally, I just set my hand down on a shelf of where I'd been looking and said, I guess I'm just going to have to buy another one. That's what I said. I had given up, and I concluded God had no interest in showing it to me. But then this thought came into my mind, what is that under your hand? Literally, my hand was laying on it. Literally. And I said, oh, I think God has just knocked on my door. I was so thankful the Lord did that. It's 20 bucks. I could have bought another, and that wasn't a deal. I felt like God was trying to tell me something. And this is what I felt like. I felt like the Lord was saying, I hear you, Byron. I'm with you. But I got some things I need to tell you. And I need you to pay attention. Because you're in a mindset that's not what my mindset right now. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm in. I mean, you know. A few days, wasn't that a sweet thing for the Lord to do? It was really precious, and I used that and was happy I had it and didn't have to spend 20 more. It's probably been 30 now with inflation. A couple days later, I'm driving down the road. I'm going to the store to make a purchase, okay? I will not tell you what the purchase is, so I'll stay out of trouble. But in my mind, I'm thinking, this is what I need to do. This is the purchase I need to make. And I heard this voice inside of my heart, this still small voice, say to me, that is not what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. Okay? I'm not telling you details. I give away what I was buying, and Becky might have issues. So I get to the store. I walk in and say, hey, it's a small, you know, local store. Hey, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to buy. And the guy looked at me and said, And he started looking, and he called the owner of the store. He said, We can't help you, but this is what we can do. It was exactly what the Lord told me. It was this, that little still small voice of God that spoke to me. And it wasn't, okay, so none of this was about me. None of this was about getting my lawnmower part or getting what God wanted me at this store. It was all about God trying to get my attention to tell me that he wants to open my ear. And I need to give him an opportunity to open my ear. I need to take time in my life for God to speak to me because he has things to say. Are y'all with me? Okay, let me just finish out here. Huh? I'm not telling you, Becky, because you'll see when the credit card bill comes. But I'll make sure when you open it, I'm outside somewhere. So I'm going to give you three things here that are really cool. Okay, are y'all good to keep going, or we can stop now? I mean, because I'm happy to stop. But this is so beautiful, y'all. So y'all know the story of Elijah. Everybody knows the story of Elijah. And if you don't know the story, read 1 Kings 18. I mean, this man is the powerhouse of the Old Testament, right? Him and Moses were the two most powerful people in the Old Testament. He literally called fire down from heaven. Literally challenged the prophets of Baal, called fire down, burned up everything. I mean, daggone started a forest fire. Okay? I mean, he burned everything up. I mean, the water got burned up. It was so hot of a fire. You know, when God's fire comes, nothing in the natural can stand against it. And killed a bunch of prophets of Baal. That's who he was challenging. He killed them. I mean, it was a bloodbath. He slaughtered these guys. Okay? And then Queen Jezebel. Y'all know who Queen Jezebel is? You know, she was bad. Well, she got a name like Jezebel. She better be bad, right? Or your mom and daddy messed up. Well, she said that because she was over the Baal religion. She heard about it, and she said, the Lord do, not maybe not the Lord, maybe so, I don't remember, but may it be done to me, or more so, concerning being killed, if I don't kill you by tomorrow, Elijah. And Elijah got tore up with fear. Okay, that's what it says in 1 Kings 9. Elijah took off. I'm going to just tell y'all this, okay, because I don't have time to read it all, because it's a lot of verses. Elijah took off into the wilderness, run away. It says he stopped at Beersheba. He had a servant, and he said, servant, goodbye. You're fired, because I'm done. That's Byron Wicker's interpretation. But he left his servant there because he, in his mind, this ministry, this calling, this being a prophet is over. I am flat done with this deal because he was just tore up. And so he goes and winds up under a broom tree of all places and falls asleep from exhaustion. And an angel of the Lord, it says the angel of the Lord, when the Bible in the Old Testament says the angel of the Lord, guess who that is? It's not just some common dog angel. It's the big guy. It's the Lord himself, comes and shows up and taps him and wakes him up. Wakes him up and says, you low down, no good, sorry, scared guy. What the heck are you doing out here? No, he did not say that to him. You know what he did? Elijah, get up. I got a cookout going here, bud. I got food, man. Let's have food. Let's have fun. Let's rest. You see, that's one of the ways God opens our ears. Are you getting me? Because the point is, he got his ears open to hear something different. Is we had to see that God cares about us physically. He cares when we're tired. He cares when we're beat up. He cares. And sometimes that's all people need. They just need somebody to say, hey, let's go to lunch. Man, it's on me. Pick the place. We'll eat. We'll hang out. We don't have to talk about God. We don't have to talk about your disappointments. We don't have to talk about your fear. Let's just eat and have a good time. And that's what he did. So he went back to sleep, and the angel did it again. But hey, another meal. This time we're eating filet mignon. And so he did that. He said, you got a journey ahead of you, and you're going to need this. You're going to need what I'm giving you. to get there. So he gets to the mountain of the Lord, Mount Horeb, which actually is called Mount Sinai in other places. Y'all know this? He went to where Moses saw the glory of God. In fact, a lot of scholars, I'll call them that, believe that he went to the same spot where the Lord hid Moses in the cleft of the rock. That Elijah knew he was going to this place where God had shown up in the past, where the glory of God got revealed, and he was going there because they say, you know, it says he went into a cave, but some of the people that know stuff in Hebrew says it could be, it was the same word as a cleft in the rock. It was the same place. Are y'all hearing this? Sometimes in life, you may think, you know, because the whole point with Moses was, Lord, reveal yourself to me. I don't really know who you, I don't know you. Let me see you. Sometimes in life, even Elijah may come to a place where I'm not sure I really know the Lord. I know that some of y'all don't think that yet. You're too religious to think that. But you'll come to a place in your life one of these days when you'll say, I'm not sure I know you, Lord. I'm really not. How can a man know the Lord? You know, we've been doing the River Life School of Ministry, which has been awesome, I think. I don't know, you can ask the students. But one of the things is of a certain particular perspective of the Bible says that God is unknowable. That's what they say. God is unknowable, which I don't believe is the truth. But what's confusing to me is some of them have written books called Knowing God. Yet their theology says God's unknowable. I'm like, huh? I'm really confused about you guys now. But there's times in my life where I feel like, Lord, I don't really know you. I've been walking with you a really long time, Lord. And I feel like that's, if I had to say I had one big disappointment in my life as a believer, that's probably the biggest one, is I don't feel like I really know the Lord very well at all. You know? And I've been doing this a long time, and it's heartbreaking to me, really. I've struggled with it a lot. You know, you have to be careful. I might be getting off the subject a moment here. You got to be careful when you start thinking that way, because doubt can get into your mind. And doubt is not a good thing. Everybody has doubt, but when doubt about the goodness of God and the character of God and the Word of God, when that starts coming your way, you have to push that out. Like, no. See, I can doubt me. I can doubt who I am, okay, it's in terms of me, my relationship with the Lord. But I do not want to ever doubt God and who God says he is and how he is. Am I talking to anybody? This is important. You'll find out when you wake up one day and wonder about your life with the Lord and about where you're at. You know, I told the Lord a long time ago, I'm talking early 1980 version. That's a long time ago. It don't seem like a long time ago. My goal in life, Lord, my number one goal in life is to know you. I told him that. I was dead dog serious about it. I'm still serious, but it's like I've never met my goal. You know, that's the way I feel. I'm not asking you to feel sorry for me or anything, just in case you are, but well, anyways, that was off the subject. That's important, though. So, Elijah goes to this place, cleft of the rock, cave, whatever you want it to be. And the Lord, guess what happens then? Elijah, you're an idiot. You know, what the heck are you doing so scared? No. Hey, Elijah, what you doing here, man? That's what the Lord said. What are you doing here? And so Elijah begins to pour his heart out to the Lord. Oh, Lord, I've done all this. I've done it all. I've done all these things, God, thinking that you were going to save Israel. You would turn everybody. And I'm the only person left. I'm the only Christian there is in the world now. What did the Lord do? The Lord listened to Elijah. He gave Elijah the opportunity. See, first the Lord ministered to his physical needs with the cookout. Now the Lord is giving Elijah a chance to process his emotions, his brokenness. God, this is how God helps us. That's how he teaches us. Learning how to hear God is not all about different ways that God speaks. All that's beautiful. I love all that. But there's stuff that has to happen with us, with our soul, with our life circumstance, with who we are. We have to begin to let God work with us and begin to talk, let us process, whatever you want to call it, vent, whatever. Just get these harsh emotions on the table and letting God know how you feel. God didn't rebuke him for feeling that way. God doesn't judge us based on our moods. He really doesn't. And if we're in a terrible mood, he doesn't judge us if we're in a terrible mood, because he knows that we're hurting and he wants to give us a chance to process the hurt. I think I mentioned last week that hurt has a voice. And if you don't express it properly, you'll express it improperly. You really will. You'll wind up doing stuff you shouldn't do and saying stuff you shouldn't say if you don't deal with the hurt properly. And so the Lord gave him a chance to do that. And after he was finished doing it, the Lord spoke to him again. And the Bible says, the Lord spoke with a still small voice. And it says when Elijah heard that, he got his mantle and wrapped his face up and went out and stood before the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And then it says there was a hurricane or a mighty wind, an earthquake, and a fire. But it says in every one of them, the Lord wasn't in those things. Now listen, it doesn't say that God's never in those things. Right? What happened on the day of Pentecost? There was a wind. There was a fire. What happened when Jesus was resurrected from the dead? There was an earthquake. God speaks through amazing things like that. But at that moment, because see, Elijah was the guy, he was the amazing guy. He was the guy that God did traumatic things like that. But here God was speaking to him in a way that necessarily he wouldn't expect. Right? Not a fire being called down from heaven, but a still small voice. And see, that's how God begins to open our ears. Lots of times when we come to these different places in life, it's a different voice of the Lord how he wants to speak to you. And we're hung up and tuned in to the wrong channel a lot of times. Oh, we're watching Channel 3 News. I don't know if people still do that, but WBTV. When God says, no, I'm on WSOC now. That's how I'm going to talk to you. You're on the wrong channel. And so he said that. And then what did he do? He gave Elijah, this is all in 1 Kings 19. You can all go home and read it. Read both 18 and 19. It's such cool as ever. Read all of it. It's so cool, his whole life. It says the Lord said this to him. Hey, this is what we're doing. You're going to go and ordain, commission, I forget the guy's name, king of Syria. And this guy was wicked as the day is long. I think his name started with H. Haziah. And history says Haziah was a wicked man and never became a good guy. But the Lord said, I want him to be the king of Syria. See, God can use anybody, y'all. God can say, hey, this is the guy I pick. He might be a jerk and a fool, but I'm going to put him in there, and he's going to do what I want him to do. And then also, he did a couple more things. Jehu, right? I think Jehu was one. Good old Jehu. In other words, and then he said, I think it was three things. Then he said, and Elisha, you got to get Elisha. You got to commission Elisha. He's your guy. That's going to take your place. See, he was at a different place. So here's this guy setting kings in place. Right? He went from calling fire down. See, he's operating a whole different level now, a whole higher level, because he heard the Lord in a different way. He's setting kings in place. Is this speaking to anybody? He's setting kings in place. He's getting his commission. But there is one other thing the Lord said. Right? And oh, by the way, Elijah, I got like 6,000 people who are saved, right? Who haven't bowed their knee. He did correct that one lie, like you're not the only one. But it was more like, oh, by the way, I got 6,000, pal, just in case. You need to know that. So there's three things the Lord wants to do. I believe that's what the Lord wants to do now with people. There's three things. One, God wants to minister to your physical needs. Whatever they might be, God really interests that. Number two, God wants to minister to your emotional needs, right? And number three, God wants to speak to you perhaps in a way that he's never spoken to you before. And I believe that still small voice is absolutely vital now. That's that inward little voice. It says like a gentle breeze inside of you, but you recognize it. You recognize it's him. That's why he did that with me when I went to buy that thing that day. He wanted me to recognize that really was me speaking to you, Byron. That really was me putting your hand on that piece of thing you were looking for. That was me. That was me knocking. And that was me speaking because I'm trying to get your attention because I got some things. Changing the channel, son. And I got some things to say. All right. Are y'all good? Let's just stand up here. Whew, mercy, Lord. Well, I believe the Lord wants to speak to people. I'll just say that. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my. I'm going to pray for you, and then you can share it, okay? I want to pray for you if you would like to hear the Lord more clearly, okay? Anybody want that? Raise your hands to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I want to hear you more clearly, Lord. Hey, so let's do this confession. Let's do it like this. Lord, I'm a sheep. I can hear your voice. I can know your voice. I need to cultivate that hearing. I need to grow in my hearing. I'm going to give my ear to you, Lord. I'm not going to turn away from you, Lord. I'm going to give you my best. Uh-oh. Let me hear that. I'm going to give you my first and best. Whatever that might be. For some, it might be the first thing in the morning. For some, it might be later. I don't really get into all that. Whatever your best is, let that be first for the Lord. And say to the Lord, here I am, Lord. Open my ear. And Father, we ask you to do that because these are your sheep, Lord. And Lord, we can't follow you unless we hear that voice and recognize that voice. And I believe, Lord, you want us to more than anything else. Lord, help those of us in this room that need to turn things off, to know what to turn off. Some things need to be turned off. Some things may need to be turned on. Lord, I pray you give us wisdom and discernment to be able to do that. Wisdom and discernment. Know what to turn off, what to turn on. Whatever voice that we're not feeling the wind on, the peace on, the rest on. That's how you do it. You begin to feel that rest on something, that peace on something, you can know that God's in it. Even though it may disturb you, it could disturb you bad. I'm asking the Lord to do that for all of us. And Lord, we really do want to know you better, Lord. I really do, Lord. And like Becky said earlier, I'm sorry that I've cowered when I shouldn't have. Can I read just one last thing to you while you stand? It's just a little thing I wrote for Mr. Tony. Listen to this. I love this, man. I worked on this to make it sound good. Becky asked me a couple weeks ago, where'd you get that at? I got it from me. I just got Jacob Whitlow to help me write it good. It didn't sound like me because I don't sound that way, but I have been working on that too. Listen to this, y'all. Jesus' voice carries the promise of protection, guidance, provision, and the rest we need. His voice is suited to our needs because he knows us intimately. As our shepherd king, he knows us on a first name basis. He said that. I know their name. We're not just a number or a nameless, faceless person. He knows our needs, name, and face, and will lead us to the abundant life. Isn't that beautiful? You're not a nameless, faceless person. And if the devil wants to tell you you are, God does, says you're not. He knows your face. He knows your needs. He's intimately acquainted with you. Paul said this in Galatians, not that I know the Lord, but the Lord knows me. That was my conclusion about knowing. Well, I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. As long as the Lord knows me, that's what's going to get me through, is his knowing. So, Lord, I just pray every person in this room would believe that. Do something, Lord. I just feel like somebody in this room really needs to hear that God knows your name. He's there with you. You're not faceless. You're not just a number. You're just not just another Christian person. You're somebody that he loves and that he deeply cares about. And that he's not disappointed in you at all. Not ever. He's not disappointed. He's not messed up about you. He wants you to know that you're important to him. He really does want you to know that. And I pray that by the revelation that you would know that to, and you'd begin to see the Lord move in your life and begin to do things for you. Amen. So, take care of her.
Salud.
I'll say amen to that, Byron. Last week, the Lord showed me something, and it really is a ridiculous thing in my opinion. And but I knew last week was not the week to share it, but I knew this week was. But I had to sit there and get the courage to come up here because it really is a little ridiculous in my opinion. Today, again, the Lord showed me the same thing, and it was a Mr. Potato Head. And Mr. Potato Head had a leg in his ear. He had a hat in his other ear. He had his parts all mixed up. And then I saw a huge hand just come over the Mr. Potato Head. And when the hand was removed, it was a blank slate. There was nothing there. There were not even the holes that you stick the things in. And I'm going to say amen and amen to what Byron said, because I believe that a lot of us have stinking thinking and we have our stuff in the wrong place. And there's a real anointing. If you take that prayer that was just prayed, there is a real anointing here for a fresh slate. No holes, a fresh slate. So I just encourage you. Even if you feel stupid about things like I did, to be honest with you, I felt really dumb. But it's so important that you do what the Lord is telling you to do. Just check, make sure it's the Lord, and just take it. There's a blessing here today of freedom, of being able to hear his voice and hear it clearly. Just check me, I would say. Just check me, it's him, and move on it. People need to hear it.
Amen. Well, just two things I want to say. The first one is an invitation that has been made possible. Then number two, I got that word this morning about reset. And I didn't know whether I needed to share during the transition, but it looks like the Lord already took care of that part. So the reset is available as well. Amen. So we have the ministry team come up here, and if you need somebody to agree with you and pray with you, these lovely people are here to agree with you and to be kind to you, because that's the Lord's kindness. And for the rest, may the Lord bless you. May his face shine upon you. May his grace be with you. And we all said, have a wonderful Sunday and week.